This morning I would ask if you would please turn with me to the Old Testament book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. I want to read, two verses of Scripture, verses 6 and 7 in that Old Testament book. As you're turning there, just a little background, they're now in the Promised Land. They've come across the Jordan River by a miraculous way. God has brought them in and gave them the land. They're there now, ready to be able to take up the land and to enjoy the blessings of God's grace in their daily life. And they're now at this point in time where that they're having to make a few preparations because there's going to be some battles that are just about to take place. So I want to stop for just a moment to say that oftentimes we hear it expressed that Canaan is heaven. It's not. It's not representative of heaven, but it is representative of the kingdom of heaven that we enjoy here in this life. You might say, well, how do you know that it's not heaven representing heaven? Well, because I pray when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have any more battles. And once they entered into the Promised Land, it was a daily struggle. It was a daily battle. There were constant enemies that were coming up against them. There's not going to be any enemies in heaven. It's going to be pure joy and glory that we can't even begin to comprehend it in this life. So they're getting ready now to enjoy the blessings of God's presence and power in their life as they go about overcoming the daily struggles. And it represents the daily struggles that you and I have. We constantly are having to go up against things in this life that would tear us down and would throw us down. So as we think about this, they're getting ready now to enjoy the blessings that God is going to give to them in their daily life. But there are some things that needs to be taking place. But today I really want to think about here lately in the last month or so, I found myself trying to get into the minds of the people and what were they thinking and what was going on in their life. And so that's where I want to go today. Joshua chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, about how that for 40 years they circled a mountain. And I'll just say, somebody was mentioned the fact of, didn't we see that somewhere before as they went around and round and round? Do you ever feel like your life is just going in circles? You're not making any progress. You're just going in circles. And that's what they did for 40 years. They walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. And to whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning and we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. It is the day that you've made and we do rejoice in it and we're glad in it, in the things that you have given to us and the blessing of being in your house once again. The blessing of being able to open our Bibles and read from your Word. And Lord, may we never take that for granted. May we understand that this is a blessing that has been given to us as a result of your grace and mercy upon our lives and in our lives. And so, Lord, just now I ask that you will bless us to see not only the lesson as it pertained to the people of Israel in that day, but how it pertains to us today as well. Help us, Lord, to gain strength. Help us to gain determination to follow you, to walk with you, to bless your name each and every day that we live. Lord, I ask for preaching grace. May everything that I say be in accordance to your word in accordance to your will. Lord, would you guide and direct the very thoughts of my mind as we come together in this point. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. We have arrived. That's the thought that I have as we look at this passage of Scripture. We have arrived. And I see us this morning to be able to say that we at Grace Church, we have arrived. We're back at the place where that we are in full schedule. We've arrived, and we've gone through a year of struggle. We've gone through a time of uncertainty. But today is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I am so glad that we have come back to that point of having our regular schedule of services. But as we look at this, they had arrived. They had come into the promised land, into the place that God had promised them. This is where I'm taking you. And as they're there, the thought that jumped out at me is in verse 6. And it's a sad thought to begin with. It's a sad thought in that there were those that did not arrive. There were those that did not get into the promised land. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that they were not children of God. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, they didn't enter into that promise that God gave them, that this was the land where the blessings were going to flow as though it were milk and honey and such sweetness into their lives. It says that the men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed. The men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed. Now, why were they consumed? The answer is given right here. They obeyed not the voice of the Lord. You know, each of us, every single day that we live, we have the Spirit of God, which, by the way, that's our theme for this quarter Bible study. We have the Spirit of God who is within us, dwelling within us, and He's speaking to us and guiding us and blessing us. And as He's guiding and blessing us, quite honestly, as children of God, you and I have choices to make every single day. We have choices to make as to whether we would obey the leadership of the Spirit or we would sway according to how our natural mind would take us. And so as we think about this, these men of war, which were very capable when they came out of Egypt, they were consumed. And the reason they were consumed was because that they felt themselves to have a better way than that which God had laid out for them. But imagine walking through the wilderness for 40 years. I thought about that. What's going through their minds as they're walking and traveling for those 40 years? And, you know, all that time, God is supplying every need that they have. He gave them angels' food, as it's talked about in the Psalms. Manna, bread from heaven, every day, 6 days a week. But on the sixth day, He gave them enough to last the seventh so that they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. God took care of everything, every single need that they have. Water out of a rock. God gave them the water that they needed for their bodies. If I understand it correctly, for 40 years they walked and their shoes didn't wear out. I had a blowout the other day on the treadmill. My shoes didn't last 40 years. They didn't hardly last 4 or 5 years. And I hadn't walked that much the first 4 of them. So they really haven't lasted much over 6 months. I had a blowout on them. But for 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Now I'm thinking also, now some of these are children. And for 40 years, you know they've grown. Did their shoes grow with them? I think so. I think they had the same shoes all the way through. And you might say, well, that sounds ridiculous. No, it sounds like something God would do, doesn't it? God provides every need that we have. And I can't prove that they had the same shoes from 6 years to 40 years. I can't prove that. But I know that my God is able to do that. So for 40 years, they've walked and they've walked and they've walked. But they've talked and they've thought the whole time. What were they thinking? I have to think that they thought back to a certain particular time as found in Numbers chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. To a certain particular time that the men of war were consumed. the time when the men that quite honestly should have taken the lead in following the Lord were consumed because that they allowed fear, and they allowed their own thoughts to overwhelm them from following the promises of God. I want to read quite a bit of scripture this morning. I know the Word of God says it better than I do. But I want us to think about these men of war. This is a time that as you look on the map, they're within days of entering into Canaan at this point. At this place where that they are, they're within days, within 3 days' journey, they could be in Canaan. But something happens. They begin to wonder. They begin to doubt. They begin to think about what is it that's over there. This is the unknown. So what do we do? Well, God gave them in His grace and His mercy. He said to Moses, I tell you what you do. You pick out one man from each tribe, 12 men, and you send... Everybody knows this story, but I'm going to tell it again, okay? You send one man out of each tribe over into Canaan. Let them spy out the land. Let them look it over. Just go from one end to the other and see what they find over there. So Moses and Aaron, they picked out 12 men. They sent them over. They've been gone for 40 days. Now they've come back. And when they're coming back, the fruit of the land is so great that one cluster of grapes is so big that it takes two men to carry one cluster of grapes. They took a rod and they hung this cluster of grapes over the rod and two men, one on each end of it, to carry that cluster of grapes back to show the people. The pomegranates that were there and all the other fruit that was there, the figs that they brought back, and they admitted this is exactly like God said it was going to be. I pick it up in verse 26. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word from them unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them the evidence. This is what God said that we would find. And look, here it is. You would think right then all 12 men would have said, let's go. It's what God said that it would be. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. You see, I can almost sense the excitement of them as they're telling what they found. It flows with milk and honey and look. I've used this example so many times, I about wore it out. But when we were at Mount Olive Church in Tifton, there was a young man in the church there. At that time, he was 12 years old. So now he's in his 40s, I guess. And he was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. And he was in a hospital. So I went to see him. And as I was walking down the hall, I remember vividly walking down the hall saying, what am I going to say to this young man that's no longer going to be able to eat chocolate pie? That's not going to be able to eat the sweets that we always have at the fellowship suppers. What am I going to say to him to give him comfort? So I walk into the room and he's sitting up in the middle of the bed, and he has all of these papers just spread out all the way around him. And he looked up at me and he smiled and he said, Brother Steve, look at all of this stuff that I can eat. And he was going line by line by line by line. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. Because I have my eyes on chocolate pie, and he's looking at all these things that are healthy and good and right. And this is what I get to eat. Look at all of this. And I'm thinking, look at what you're not going to get to eat. You know, that's how my mind went. So here, they're saying, this is the evidence of it. Look at all of this. This is what God is giving to us. And I want to say to us this morning that to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, to be able to enjoy those things within us as we go from day to day to day, there's nothing that begins to compare with the joy joy of the Lord that He gives to us. And we see the evidences of it. Throughout my ministry, I could just go back time after time after time, seeing how that in situations that it would seem that people would be down, that they're up and there's maybe not smiling, but there's the joy of the Lord that's sustaining them even in those difficult times. They said, "This is the fruit of it. Look." But nevertheless, wait a minute. There's a hitch to it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell there. You see, now they've taken their eyes off of the fruit of God's blessings and placed their eyes upon the enemy. And any time that we do that, any time that we take our eyes off of the Lord and put them on the things of this life, it doesn't take me long to go so down in my spirit, in my thoughts, whenever I allow my thoughts to dwell upon the things that are going on in the world today. I have to constantly remind myself, God's in control. God's in control. God's made promises. God's going to see us through this. But now all of a sudden, their eyes are off the milk and the honey and the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs. The people are strong. And when you stop to think about it, the things that you and I go up against every day, don't let anybody fool you. Satan is strong. Christ is stronger. Satan is wily. And Satan is subtle. And Satan is able to work his way in ways that we wouldn't even begin to think about. And so here it is, suddenly, all of a sudden, from one breath to the next, from the grapes to the people. The people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They're everywhere. And listen, isn't that life? Every way we turn, there are those things that would seek to obstruct us from enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Every way that we turn, there's things that would come up against us that would get in our very faces to try to throw us down and cast us down and bring us from the mountaintop experience to the very lowest of the valleys. And that's exactly what happened. Not only did they say that they're strong, the cities, they got walls all the way around. We can't go up against those walls, and Lord willing tonight, we're going to say that yes, they can. But right now, they're saying we can't do it. We can't go against those walled cities. They're too great for us. There's no way we can tear those walls down. Well, again, there's no way that they could. And yes, the people were stronger than them. But if you remember what God said to them through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 7, He said, "I didn't choose you because you were the strongest. I didn't choose you because you were the greatest. I didn't choose you because you were the most. I chose you because I love you." And that's the only reason that you and I need, that's the only motivation that you and I need to face one day to the next, is God loves me. Jesus loves me. How much does He love me? He loves me so much that He allowed those nails to be driven into His hands and His feet. And if you get tired of me saying that, I'm sorry. Because I'm not going to quit saying it. That's my only hope, is that the nails were driven through His hands and His feet, and His blood was shed for me. And through the shedding of His blood, my sins have been washed away. And through the shedding of His blood, I have the strength and the power to face every single day. I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm not going to go through life without making mistakes. But I serve the One who is perfect. I serve the One who has gone through life without making any mistakes. And in Him, I can do all things that strengthens me. And they're forgetting that because they're suddenly looking at that which is the obstruction rather than that is the One that has made the way. Do you ever find yourself in that position? Do you ever find yourself saying, "Oh, I've got my focus in the wrong place. I placed my attention in the wrong place"? Because if you do, you're going to see nothing but trouble around. You're going to see nothing but obstructions around. You're going to see nothing but that which would throw you down and defeat you. I'm not talking eternally now. I'm talking about the kingdom. It will keep you from entering into that joy which is of the Lord and the blessings of peace that only is in Christ Jesus. And so I see them going from being excited about the fruit to being dejected because of the enemy. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let's go right now. We can do it. Let's go. Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, in the book of Joshua, I think it's about chapter 14, is when Caleb's lot of the land is given to him. And he acknowledges there, and I'm sure he did here, but it's not recorded for whatever reason. But and it will be recorded later on between him and Joshua. But right here, Caleb is saying, we're able to do it because God is with us. Greater is He that is with us, and greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. The words aren't spoken right there. That's exactly what he's saying. I can't, but God can. I can't do it, but my God is able to bring me to that place. We are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up again." I can almost hear him whining. "We're not able to go against the people. They're stronger than we are." And I don't mean to be making fun of it, but I'm a whiner. I'm a whiner. I can't do it. I can't, but God can. I have to keep reminding myself that. And you may not have to be reminded as often as I do, but I have to be reminded constantly. My God is able. My God is able. And if He, what is it? If he takes you to it, He'll give you grace to take you through it. And so He brought them to the land, and He was going to take them into the land. But they obeyed Him not. We're not able. They're stronger. I can't help myself. I'm human. How many times have we heard that or said that? I'm only human. I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, I am. But I don't need to use that as a crutch. I don't need to use that as something that I lean on to prevent me from doing what God has given me the strength and the power and the ability and the wisdom to do. They're stronger than we are. Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." I've read so many stories growing up at the foot of the Smoky Mountains. I've read of so many stories where the people would be hiking and for whatever reason go a few feet off of the trail and never be found. They would get turned around and not make their way back to the trail. Sometimes when we take that wrong turn off the path, we have to be very, very careful that we're able to come back to that path. They said the land eats up the people. It eats them up. We've seen it. It eateth the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak. There they're expounding on the sons of Anak that they mentioned back in verse 28. They're giants. They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. They know the land better than we do. Can I just give you a side note? Back in Joshua 14, when Caleb is saying, when he's given the choice of the land, Caleb said, "You see that mountain? That mountain where the sons of Anak live, where the giant, that's what I want." He could have had the fertile valley. He could have had the river land. He could have had the bottom land, as we call it in East Tennessee. He could have had all of that where all the crops would have grown and life would have been ease. He said, no, I want the mountain. And y'all know corn don't grow on Rocky Top. So, but I want the mountain. I want where I have to depend upon God. For you see, when I become rich, then I think I've got it myself. But as long as I'm having the struggles of life, that's a key opportunity for me to understand and experience the power of God in my life. So the very things that caused these people to say, "We can't," was the very thing that Caleb would say, "That's what I want. I want that very land." What's going through these people's minds? I've not forgotten my text, I promise you. What's going through their minds through these 40 years? Are they still thinking about that bad report that was given? Are they still wondering what's going to happen as they go around the mountain? What's going to happen when we cross the Jordan River? Are they wondering? We still have to fight those battles. I remember the grapes, but I remember the giants. Which one's going to take the impact of my mind? The giants that can defeat me, or the grapes that can feed me? Am I going to be defeated, or am I going to be the fed? What's going to happen? Verse chapter 14. All the congregation, what happened? 10 men said, we can't do it. And from 10 men who said, we can't do it. And it says, all the congregation lifted their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured. They haven't seen anything yet, but they're crying and they're weeping and they're murmuring against Moses, against Aaron. Who are they really murmuring against? God. Not Moses and Aaron, because God's the one that brought them there. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine? It would have been better if we had just died back there. You know, that was their battle cry all the way through the wilderness to this point. Remember what they said when they came to the Red Sea? Were there enough graves in Egypt? God brought us here to die here. What did God do? He opened up the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. Every time that they murmured, another time they said, we are getting tired of this light bread, manna. Can you imagine getting tired of bread from heaven? Our soul loathes this light bread. We want some meat. God's got a sense of humor. He sent them quail. Do you remember how much quail they had? They ate so much that it came out. I felt this way a few times. It came out their nostrils. They got fed up with quail in a hurry and realized God had given them the very best all the time. But here they're saying, we wish we'd just died in Egypt. Or that God would have let us die in the wilderness. We don't want to fight this. And I'll say this, the struggles of life are not easy. They're not easy. I believe God allows them to be difficult for us. Because if they're not difficult, we think we've done it on our own. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? We're not doing this for ourselves. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're protecting the women and children. We don't want them to have to suffer. So we're protecting them. Just let us go back. Let us go back into Egypt where that our women and children were being taken care of. But did you notice in my text who it was that came in? The women and the children. God is the one who protects us. God doesn't need those men of war to protect the women and children. God will do it. But He does design... All right, men, I'm talking to us now. He designs for us as men to be men of God. He designs for us to stand firm and to stand strong. And I stand here to tell you I have failed on so many occasions. But God has designed for us to stand as men of God, to be men of war. And that is that we fight with the shield of faith, with the sword of the Lord, which is the Word of God. We put on the whole armor of God, and we show ourselves to be strong as that which God has intended us to be. Not that we would protect the women and children, but that we would just honor and glorify God. And if we do that, God's going to take care of the other things. Verse 4, they said one to another, let us make us the captain and let us return into Egypt. They already had a captain, didn't they? At that point, he still was that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night that was leading them into the promised land. But now they wanted a man to be their captain, a man to be their leader. But where did they want that man to lead them? Right back into captivity. Right back to the place that they had cried out so strongly, Lord, deliver us. How quickly we forget, right? Our memories sometimes over a period of time, we tend to remember the best and forget the worst. And so as they were making this captain, you know, it was better for us back in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation. And here's Joshua. We hear him at this point. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They tore their garments. And that is a sign of a broken heart. It's a sign of mourning that they tore their clothes. They were brokenhearted that these men that had seen the power of God, that had seen the blessings of God, suddenly were wanting to turn back to the way of the world. They rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. See, there's 10 that said we can't. Joshua and Caleb are the two that made the 12, made up the 12. They said, it's an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us. James would put it this way. We're not to say tomorrow or today we'll do this or we'll do that. Rather, we're to say, if the Lord will. If it's God's will, we will do this, we'll do that. And here Joshua is saying, if it's God's will, if God delights in us, He'll bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't turn against God. Don't try to go against Him. Don't try to go back the way of the world. Follow Him. Neither fear you the people or the land. And God says to Moses, I'm going to destroy every one of them. I'm going to raise you up another nation. In other words, God said, I've still promised the land. I'm still going to give it. But I'm not taking these in. And Moses interceded on behalf of the people. And God said, okay, I'm going to take the women and children. But these men aren't going. You'll walk for every day that you were in the wilderness, you will walk a year. 40 days there, you're going to walk 40 years. And for 40 years, you're going to have the opportunity to think, do I want to follow after those 10 that are dying in the wilderness? Or do I want to follow the Lord and do His bidding? And we come to our text, and here we find they're in the edge of the promised land. They're right there. There's still battles to be held, and there's still battles to be fought. But they're there. And they have obeyed what God would have them to do. And the first thing that they did was that the children that were born in the wilderness, the boys, they circumcised them. And that was to forget the past and to go forward. You're here. And now there's the blessings that are laid in front of you. Go forward in those blessings. Go forward in the promises of God. Stand on the very things that God has promised to give you. Yes, I failed. Yes, they failed. But God never fails. So let us follow after Him. So let me just end the message this morning with Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, the New Testament, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Whilst it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And the provocation is referring back to Numbers chapter 13, where that they provoked God. They provoked Him by not believing Him. We sang the song a while ago, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. God has given us the victory. We enjoy it by faith, believing that God will do exactly what He has told us He's going to do. Go down to verse 18. It says, to whom swear He that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Again, He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about the eternal heaven there. He's talking about entering into the joys of the Lord, entering into that place of peace and rest and confidence that is ours because of that which God has done for us and what God has promised to do for us. And so as we go forward, He says there is a danger today, this day. There is a danger that God's people would not be able to enter into that rest. Now, and I know I got 5 minutes, I think. So let me see if I can get it. There is no danger of anyone for whom Jesus Christ died not making it to heaven. Okay? All that the Father giveth him shall come to him, and he that cometh to him, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Everyone that Jesus died for will be in heaven, bar none. But there are many for whom Jesus died that are not enjoying the blessings every day of walking as we trust and obey the things that God has laid down for us. There's a big difference there. Now, when I was here before, I remember saying it from this very pulpit, and I wish I hadn't said it. But I remember saying, the only thing that you lose is the joy of your salvation. Let me tell you something. If you've ever experienced the loss of the joy of your salvation, you don't want to be there. You don't want to go there. Because it is hell on earth to lose the joy of salvation. You even wonder sometimes, could God love somebody like me? And the truth of the matter is, He says, I love you with an everlasting love. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But listen, I don't want to lose the joy of my salvation again. I don't want to lose that. I've been through that, and it's no fun. So how do I avoid it? How do I avoid it? Lord, keep speaking to me, please. Don't give up on me. Help me to do better today than I did yesterday. And help me to do better tomorrow than I'll do today. Lord, please just be with me. Keep speaking to me. Keep leading me. Keep guiding me. Keep blessing me, Lord. I know that I'm forgiven. You've promised that. We talked about that last Sunday. I've confessed it, and you said you would forgive me and you would cleanse me. Lord, help me now to walk in that path. Help me to walk with you. I don't want to stray. I don't want to walk away. I want to do what you would have me to do. Please, Lord, help me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are true to your word, both in the sense that the men of war were consumed because they didn't trust you, but also true to your word that you brought into the promise those that you promised to bring there. And Lord, thank you that opportunity is given to us as your children to enjoy the blessings of righteousness in Christ. He is our peace. And He is our joy. Help us, Lord, to experience that each and every day. Forgive us when we fail. Lord, may this message be a reminder to me and to anyone else that hears it that we are to be true to you and walk with you in faith, believing that you are taking us to that place of peace and rest. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. One of the things that the Lord has commanded us as His children is to be baptized and to be obedient to that command of identifying ourselves with Him through water baptism. As we stand and sing this morning, if you have that the Lord has spoken to your heart and that desire is there to be identified with Christ here at Grace Primitive Baptist Church, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.